Welcome to episode number 79. In this episode, Lynn and I will be talking about the inner child and how important it is to reconnect with your inner child. So the interesting thing about the inner child is it influences us. It's our subconscious, really. So it influences us from day to day. And we can reconnect to our inner child in many ways. You can reconnect through meditation, through play, and through just even embodying your true self. So in this episode, we'll really go over the what, the when, the why, and the how, and what inner child healing is, when you know you need it, why it's important, and how you can go about healing your inner child. So whether you're super familiar with inner child work or just beginning, this is a great episode to connect with if you're interested in healing any aspect of your life. So particularly, it is relationship to self, which influences so many aspects of our lives, from career to relationships to how we really show up in the world. So this is important because everything that we experience on earth is filtered through us and our perspective. So when we have a better relationship to ourselves and more love and a higher sense of self-worth on the inside, we'll find ourselves in a reality that's much closer to our ideal reality. So we'll start with the what, and we'll go over what the inner child is. So this is essentially our childlike aspect and our unconscious mind, commonly referred to our subconscious, but it's much more than that because it's everything that makes you, you. So for example, if someone wanted to make a template of you, they would essentially copy it from your inner child because this is who you are, your very core. So it's who you are minus the conditioning, the trauma, the other constraints that do not really define you, but instead just kind of define your journey and where you've been from, you know, point A to B to now. So your inner child is your innocence, your enthusiasm for life, and your beautiful creativity and intuition. And when we focus on healing the inner child, we're reflecting on our adult challenges and tracing the core of them way back to our inner child. And in what ways was our inner child restricted in the developmental journey of child to adult? So this would be defined as our core wounds. But first, we'll go over the when, so we can know when inner child healing is needed. And this is actually kind of a trick question because everyone on the planet could really benefit from reconnecting with and healing their inner child and at any time. The reason being is almost every human being has past trauma or core wounds and disturbances. And if we feel called to heal and reconnect with our inner child, then it's probably a really good time to look into it. So if you're listening to this episode, you're probably interested in healing your inner child. So if we'll kind of go over why this is important next.
Yes. So why would we heal the inner child, and in what ways does this help us evolve? So doing this type of healing is most beneficial to the areas of your life in which you feel are less than satisfactory. So we'll explain what we mean by this quickly. Reflect on the most troublesome areas of your life, whether that be your relationship, your career, like finances, purpose, health, home, life, spirituality. Just quickly take a moment to reflect on this. So now that you reflect on it, the ones that stuck out to you as being the most unsatisfactory, whether now or in the past, are associated with the traumatic, difficult, disturbing, or negative experiences we had as a child, which are now our core wounds and disturbances as adults. Most core wounds directly affect our self-worth. So a little more about this. Core wounds for the inner child, or also what we call inner child disturbances, can be trauma or perceived trauma in our psyche stemming from a few core instances from our childhood. So we'll cover more about these core disturbances to our inner peace, as well as ways this can manifest in our adult lives. So stay until the end because we'll go over how to recover, heal, and find harmony through this kind of awareness. But some common, like, core wounds are abandonment, wounds, guilt, rejection, trust or betrayal wounds, and neglect wounds. An example, if you continually attract emotionally unavailable men, you may have a core wound of abandonment where a masculine figure in your life was either not physically or emotionally there for you in the capacity that your child self needed. And now in order to heal this wound, our psyche feels a need to close the gap, which is essentially we attract more emotionally unavailable men into our lives in order to become aware of and heal this wound. To heal, we need to realize our self-worth. And this could look like setting boundaries in this particular instance, or knowing what we deserve, releasing the person that doesn't treat us like we deserve, or trusting that our path will bring us better opportunities if we have space in our lives to receive it. Also, like, it could be a combination of all of that. Along with our core wounds, there are core beliefs that mainly start with I am. Basically, these are negative affirmations that your subconscious truly believes due to trauma or inner child wounds and disturbances. To find them, write down a few of your triggers that have been prominent throughout most of your life. And next to each thought, ask the question, why is that so bad? Or why is that so important? Then continue asking yourself why until you reach a core belief such as, it makes me feel helpless, which is a core belief that I am helpless, or this makes me feel unimportant, which is a core belief of I am unimportant. Next are core disturbances, which are similar to core wounds, but more specified and most used means as an escape. So escaping the present, escaping ourselves, escaping like good emotions like harmony or intimacy. And so we'll just list a few of the common core disturbances here. So one of them being a threat to home environment, lack of safety within environment, cannot relax while in living space, but maybe can relax in hotel rooms, other people's homes, etc. And has trouble sleeping, resting, and letting go of stress when home. Another core disturbance would be threat to person. So threat to personality or persona. I am unlovable is an example of this. Manifests as a deep lack of self-worth, always pretending to be someone else, finds it difficult to tell the truth. And then another one is being as a threat to creativity and self-expression. So a child grows up dimming his or her light and retracting their self, and they find it difficult to connect to creativity, inspiration, motivation, and self-expression. And this also results in a lack of self-confidence. So to find your core disturbances, reflect on what area of your life you feel less than satisfied in. And so again, these can be relationships, career, purpose, health, finances, home life, spirituality, or some other area that we didn't list off here. And then when you write it down, your main threats around this, similar to how we did it to find our core wounds, but more so centered around not feeling safe and what feels fearful or threatening to your ego, mind, body, or inner child. And if you were to be satisfied 100% in this area.
Yeah, so that's probably, it's a bit confusing if you're just starting inner child work. So I recommend to try to start with the core wounds first, just because the core disturbances, when you start getting into that, it can get a little complicated. And I really wanted to ask if you have any current triggers, Lynn, so we can kind of try this on you as an example.
One where like an area of my life that I am unsatisfied with.
Yeah, well, you can basically, if you have a trigger, you can trace it back to an aspect of your life, like a subconscious kind of thing.
Honestly, I can't even think of a trigger right now. I know I have them though.
Oh my gosh, I know, same. And that's why when I go through the day, I'm like, I have to write this down because I'm not going to remember this. Maybe we can remember at the end. So we'll move on to the how. So how do we go about starting or continuing our inner child healing? So bringing awareness to your core wounds is the very first step. And 9 times out of 10, our core wounds are linked to our self-worth and our self-love. So the second step here after that awareness would be a much more personalized way to recover, heal, and find harmony after becoming aware of the core wounds you have is to do anything that is considered a self-love practice to you. And I know that is something we preach about a lot, is the self-love. And I know practically everyone listening to this knows that how important self-love is, but it's very, very important when it comes to inner child healing, because it's all about having compassion for yourself and, you know, really tapping into what feels good and what makes you feel more connected to self, which is essentially self-love. So if you're looking for some practices that are more aligned with this particular episode, we'll list some here and in the show notes, but these are specifically ways to heal and reconnect with your inner child that are not necessarily super catered to self-love, but just more catered to inner child. So the first one would be to daydream and reflect on your childhood. You can make a list of the things that you enjoyed when you were young. The second one would to be identify the patterns that are prominent in your adulthood. So mainly the areas of relationships and career purpose, because those are the main ones for most people. And these are most of the time directly linked to your inner child wounds. When we have, like Lynn mentioned earlier, the emotionally unavailable father, that can manifest in our relationships later on. It can also manifest in our career and purpose by not feeling safe enough to find a career purpose that we feel like we deserve. So we're kind of stuck in this little loop of being in a career that we are not really emotionally connected to, because some people need a career that is very emotionally fulfilling for them and some people don't. And it really just depends on your inner child wounds, really. So the next one would be to write a letter addressing your inner child. So you can apologize, you can show gratitude, you can ask for forgiveness, and you can write whatever you want your inner child to hear. So perhaps something that he or she never heard and could be waiting to hear from you. And the next, number four, would be to reconnect with your feelings. So honoring your truth is honoring your inner child. Honoring our emotions is honoring our inner child, because our emotions are there for a reason. Our body is smarter than our minds most of the time. So our mind is just, our ego, and our body is just more so our vessel, our spiritual vessel that we're here. So our body will be telling us the truth about a situation, whereas our mind will run in circles. So when we reconnect with our emotions and our feelings, that is our truth. And whether they're bad feelings, it's something to be explored and kind of unearthed and healed. So the question following this one is to ask yourself, are you living a life that honors that little girl or little boy within? Number five is awareness of how you speak to yourself. So our words and our constant emotions, our consistent emotions that are surrounding our thoughts, are so powerful. And when we have a negative self-talk or negative self-think, really, it's really detrimental to our relationship with our inner self. So talk to yourself with compassion as you would the child version of yourself. And that was a really big eye-opener for me, because I had to think of the things I was actually saying, because I wasn't really conscious of it from day to day until I really started doing this work and getting more into it. I realized, wow, I am saying the meanest things to myself out loud and thinking the meanest things inside my head. And I would think like, wow, I would never say this to Baby Allie. Like, that's so mean. So, and I would never like say that to most of my friends even. So I think it's a really big eye opener when you realize, wow, your self-talk is just not there. And number six would be closing the gap. So this is an interesting one. It's to heal and complete the loop of our wounds. And what this means, it's completing the loop through forgiveness, because forgiveness is such a powerful practice, because it releases and neutralizes energy. So it neutralizes the trauma in a way so that it's not so heavy on our energy and impacting us so harshly, but instead it kind of like lifts the heaviness off of trauma. And that might sound a little tone deaf to some people, but it's really how our minds work. Like our ego works is when we neutralize energy, no matter how bad it was, it's easier in our psyche. And then we can kind of move forward and move past it or move through it really, and not have it weighing so heavy on our subconscious and influencing us negatively day to day. So instead we kind of give our negative connotations a new meaning, and one that empowers us. So for example, like I, like for the emotionally absent parent, you could reframe it and say, okay, well, this kind of helped me become super emotionally available myself because I realized this is my past trauma. And now I'm very aware of like how I'm interacting with people because of this past trauma. So it, you really learn like something from everything, and everything really teaches you something, and all the things you go through really, really kind of lead you to your purpose and what you're meant to be helping other people with. So that could be one way you reframe it. And if you don't want that to be tied in with your purpose, I'm sure there's going to be a conversation you may have with someone later on that had the same thing that hasn't worked through the things that you've worked through, if that makes sense. So, yeah, so empowering, kind of reframing our beliefs and making them more empowering so that they don't negatively define us or reality ever again. Well, maybe not ever again, but you know what I mean? Like moving forward, like it's obviously healing is not linear ever, but I think it's really important to kind of reframe our things that are shadows really, and kind of, because it helps us really accept ourselves in a deeper way as well. When we reframe our shadows, reframe our traumas, it helps us become bigger, I guess, more empowered versions of ourselves, rather than having our trauma define us. I'm going off a bit of a tangent, Lynn, so I'm gonna call out to you to reel me back in.
No worries. Oh my gosh, no, but like I haven't done a lot of like inner child work personally. It's something that I've been meaning to do myself, but like I do know that I do have some like work to do that is related to like my childhood self. Like I think we talked about this, but the whole like people pleasing side of things, like I feel like that stems from a lack of self-confidence, and which also is traced back to my childhood self, where like my parents were very strict parents when like I was younger, and basically like, you know, it's like the typical Asian stereotype. If you don't get 100, like, what are you doing sort of thing? Like you need, and so it's just like one of those things where it's just my lack of self-confidence comes from like not being good enough because my parents wanted the best for me. And by like wanting the best, they wanted me to be the best. So it's something that I'm definitely still working through. And I do see it in my present day life, the lack of self-confidence, which like basically stems in the form of people pleasing and like not being able to talk in public and like a bunch of other things.
Right. And fear of failure too, because I have the same thing, because it's, if there's a lot of pressure on you to be the best, if you're going to try something new and you have that fear of failure, it's going to keep you stagnant because your ego mind is going to weigh all the options and be like, wow, I could totally fail from doing this. I'm probably not the best at this. And that's also where the comparison game comes from as well, is when we see someone doing something so well that we want to do ourselves, it's almost like it keeps us in this little box where we don't even want to try to do it because we know we won't be as good as them, or we think we won't be as good as them. And really it's not like a question of being as good as them, but it's a question of us feeling like we failed because we weren't, you know, up to par or something like that. And I had that same thing, but it's weird because my parents weren't super, super strict on my grades or anything like that. But I think I held myself to this incredibly high standard when I was a kid. I was a very, what's the word? I was like an old soul in a little kid's body. And I guess I just came from this past life where I was super, super hard on myself because I'd always been super hard and super like anal about certain things and like very high Virgo tendencies. So if anyone's a Virgo listening to this, it's like Virgo to like 10 out of 10 Virgo. I've got my Venus and my Mars in Virgo, which is like your feminine, your masculine aspects. Did we do an episode on that?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, so it's like Virgo, and that like manifested when I was a kid too, and I had the same thing that Lynn's talking about with the fear of failure and people pleasing, and wanting to be the best at everything that I like so harshly that I won't even try certain things because I'm so afraid of failing. And it's interesting, Lynn, I was talking about this with a friend of mine and how I probably wouldn't have started this podcast without you because you're very nonchalant about certain things. And I'm like, my Virgo tendencies flare up, but the fact that you're so like chill about stuff like this, I'm like, okay, she's chill about it, so I can be chill about it. It's almost like you give me permission to you know, release this out into the world because you are very you know, you're chill about it. You're not like freaking out about this not being perfect or anything. And when we first started the podcast, I had that mentality where I wanted it to be perfect. But you kind of like took that pressure off of me because you don't like, I feel like you don't really care that much of it being perfect. You're more so doing it because you like talking about the content and it's like, you're more passionate about it. So you kind of made me focus on that more because it is more about like what we're passionate about. It's like energy healing and mindset and all of that. So thank you. it's interesting that we like brought this up because it was directly related to a conversation I just had. And I've had it with my mom. I've had it with my partner. I've had it with like a couple of friends about like how you help me, you know, partners in business. You have to have like the yin and the yang. You have to have like, it's so, so beneficial. And if anyone's listening and they're trying to start a business with a partner or even like a passion project like this, you have to have like the balance. You've got to have one person that knows how to do XYZ, but the other person knows how to do ABC. So it's like, so you balance each other out. And like Lynn and I balance each other out with this so well, because I'm sitting here, if I were doing this podcast on my own, I would be extremely anal and I probably have like 5 episodes out right now. That's it. Versus like how many? 79. Yeah. So
no, but like on my side though, like without you, I would be the hot mess, like it would be all over the place because like my mind, like within 20 seconds I have like 50 different thoughts and I go like, it's like right now, like I'm stumbling over my words because I'm thinking of like 10 different things. And it's just like, you keep me like in line and you like keep me focused as well. So it goes both ways and it like circles back to what you just said, the whole yin and the yang thing, like you keep me in line, which is good.
I love it. Well, I love how the end of this episode just like turned into us praising each other. So
right, I love it too. But yeah, no, I
so much gratitude. Hi Babs. Yeah. I'm also recording in a closet right now, so if the audio is a little messed up, guys, I'm sorry. I'm trying to find my groove and find my new place to record. So yeah, we had a lot of fun doing this episode. I mean, inner child healing is so important. And just like to recap, it's just your childlike aspect. So in order to reconnect, you can do something for self-love. You can do something that helps you kind of let go and play, because as kids, what do? All day we played, we drank, we dreamt, we loved, and like kids love so big. So I think a lot of times as adults, we kind of are disconnected from that because it's like, we're afraid to play and dream big and love big because it's such a, it's a scary world and we're afraid of being judged or afraid of being like kicked out from the clan, kind of like that caveman mentality of being kicked out from the tribe. So, but I think the key to that is really self-acceptance and self-love so that you can allow yourself to play big, dream big and love big without really worrying about, failure, worrying about judgment or worrying about being kicked out of the tribe. I think the sooner we accept ourselves, we'll know that we'll find our tribe that will accept us as we are. So it's like, it's almost like that energy will, like you radiating that energy of acceptance and self-acceptance will be a magnet to the people that, you know, radiate that energy themselves and then also can kind of see you for who you truly are and, you know, reflect that love back to you. So very, very important work is inner child healing. So yeah, that's a little recap. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Lynn and I love recording it. We've got some cool episodes coming up for you guys. So stay tuned and we'll talk to you in the next one.
Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.